Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew sat at the tax booth. Maybe he was collecting taxes. Maybe he was counting all the money that he had already collected. We don't really know exactly how he got there, found himself in that situation. But we do know that his occupation, tax collector, was utterly hated by the people that he dealt with on a daily basis. Now, it doesn't really have anything to do with maybe how you feel about your taxes today, but it's 10 times worse in the days of Jesus, because they were under occupation of the Roman Empire. In Judea, they were ruled by the Roman Empire. So then who's the one that's going to collect taxes for the Roman Empire? Well, it's one of the Jews that's going to collect taxes for the occupiers, the Roman government. So then you can imagine how these people would really be hated. They would be seen as sellouts. They were collecting money from their brethren, from this government, the Roman Empire, that they hated so much. So you could really see how they would be hated by the people that they were supposed to collect the money from. But there's even more than that. They would usually take a little bit more than what they were actually supposed to collect. They would say that you owed so much, and it was actually more than what you actually owed. And whatever was the extra, they would just put it in their own pockets. So tax collectors had this reputation of being traitors to their own people, and then also just being liars and cheaters. So much so that you heard the Pharisees asking Jesus, when he was sitting there with the tax collectors and sinners, those two things were essentially just synonymous. Tax collectors and sinners. People that ignore the word of God and hate the word of God, and those tax collectors, they're all really just one and the same. So how did Matthew find himself in that situation? What was his mentality? Was his life ruled by greed? Probably so. He probably wouldn't have gotten into that occupation if that wasn't the case. So there he is, sitting at the tax booth, bound by greed. His desire for money is really the thing that drives his whole life. And then he hears a word that's going to change everything. A man comes up to him and says two simple words: follow me. Follow me. Theoretically, anybody could have said this. But when Jesus, the man who said it, says those two simple words, it means so much more. It doesn't just mean, hey, come over here, I have to show you something. It means to drop everything about his current life, all the greed, only looking for money at the expense of everything else. And he says, follow God. Drop all of the earthly concerns that you have and follow the Son of God who has come in the flesh. Anybody could have said those two words, but when Jesus speaks, he is one who speaks with authority. You can't just ignore the words that Jesus says. When you encounter Jesus, you will be changed whether you like it or not. Because Jesus speaks with power. Jesus speaks with authority. And when you encounter those words, you will either follow him or you will reject him. You will become more hardened in your sin, more hardened in your selfishness. But either way, you'll never be the same when you hear the words of Jesus. Follow me is what he says to Matthew. And the Holy Spirit worked on that heart. Matthew's heart that was clouded with greed, all of that was ripped away by the power of the Holy Spirit. His hard heart was softened, and he did get up from the tax booth, rise, and follow Jesus, leaving it all behind. greed and covetousness and following his Lord. Matthew had the great privilege of being called by Jesus and called to salvation. Because if he did not rise and follow Jesus, he would have only been on the path of death that all people are on unless they follow Jesus. So thanks be to God that Matthew followed Jesus to salvation. But there was even so much more that he was privileged with when he followed Jesus. That he had the opportunity to hear the teaching of the Lord of the entire universe who took on human flesh day in and day out. And not only that he had the opportunity to hear that teaching, but that Jesus sent Matthew as one of the 12 apostles to take that message and take it into the whole world, declaring the forgiveness of sins that can be found in Jesus to everyone in all the world. This is exactly what Jesus told them before he ascended into heaven. In Matthew chapter 28, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Matthew had the privilege of going out with that message, forgiveness of sins in Jesus, and bringing it to the entire world, teaching all things that he has commanded. And Matthew has even a greater privilege than this, that when he heard the word of Jesus over those many years of Jesus' ministry, when he internalized it into himself, when he preached it, and then heard it again over and over and over again, the Holy Spirit chose him specifically and inspired him to write down that message. Write down that message in Holy Scripture so that we can have it today. And you have the confidence that because Matthew heard the words of Jesus, and because Jesus told Matthew and all the disciples, "Whoever hears you, hears me," you have the confidence that when you read the Scriptures, when you read the Gospel of Matthew or any of the other Gospels or the Epistles of Paul or the other letters in the New Testament, you are hearing the words of Jesus. You're hearing the very true words of Jesus. So in that same way, just like Jesus spoke to Matthew and said, "Follow me," called him specifically, you are called. You are called to follow Jesus. You are called to hear his gospel by his word, because his word that is recorded in Scripture and spoken to you today and preached to you today, that is the very same word that they heard so long ago. When you hear the Scriptures, you hear Jesus. And when you hear Jesus, you hear the power of the gospel, the power of salvation for everyone who believes. So just like Matthew was called to follow Jesus, you too are called to follow Jesus and to receive salvation in him. And that's the message that our text has for us today, that Jesus calls you through his word to follow him. Jesus calls you through his word to follow him. Jesus called all of the prophets and all of the apostles, like Matthew, to follow him and then also to speak his word. And we heard this as well in our Old Testament reading. God called Ezekiel to speak his word. "But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." And when I looked, behold, a hand was stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Maybe you were reading that reading or listening to that reading and thinking, what in the world is going on here? And why is God describing his word as a scroll and telling Ezekiel to eat it? It almost sounds kind of disgusting. Why is God saying this? But it's a beautiful picture of the way God wants us to treat his word. That it's not just something that bounces off our ears or goes in one ear and out the other. but it is something that we would take into ourselves. You can think of the image of eating, like Ezekiel eating the scroll, that we would take it into ourselves, and it truly does change us from the inside. God tells Ezekiel, hear what I have to say to you, and then speak it. Speak it to that rebellious house of Israel, and the end of the reading, whether they like it or not, whether they're going to reject you or accept it, that doesn't matter to you. You speak the word. And when God tells you to hear, and when God calls you to speak that word, just like Jesus said to Matthew at the tax booth, follow me. That word is powerful. That word is authoritative. You do it when Jesus tells you. Jesus says the same words to Matthew when he says, follow me. Follow me to hear my teaching, to hear it day after day, to take that teaching inside of you, and then he also sends him. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And when he is sent to teach, when he records it in Scripture, and you hear, you know that you are hearing the very words of Christ. As I said before, Jesus promised. When he said to his apostles, the one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. When you hear the word of the Scripture, you hear the very word of God. So that means, when we hear the Bible, when we hear the words of the Scriptures, we know that it has the power and it has the authority of God. That's what St. Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 2 when he says that our church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. And then in our reading for today from Ephesians chapter 4, St. Paul says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. The word of the apostles and the prophets is the word of Christ. As St. Peter says in 2 Peter 1:21, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And then St. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. You can trust that the Bible is the very word of God. It's not just this random, haphazard group of stories. It's not just nice bedtime stories that we like to tell ourselves because they make us feel better. That book that we read, that we preach, that we proclaim, that we take into our hearts and our minds, it is the Word of God. And as we say each time we read it, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that the God of the entire universe has given his word to you. Have you ever considered how amazing that is? People are always wanting to seek God. Oh, how do I seek God? I'm just going to be groping around in the darkness. I don't really know where to look. God doesn't actually work that way. He reveals himself to you. He reveals himself to you in his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and he reveals himself to you in his Word. In his Word. Look to his Word. Hear his Word and know that it is the very power of God. And since the Word is the power of God, it governs how we are in this life and in this church and what we teach. Everything that we teach must come from the Bible. Because it is the power of God and has the authority of God. And since we receive the word of God in the Scriptures, Jesus is speaking to you in the Scriptures. And just like he called Ezekiel, just like he called Matthew from the tax booth, he is calling you by the gospel. We find our true selves in the Scriptures. People are always trying to find their true selves. And what do they usually do? They look further inside themselves. If I examine myself more and more, maybe I'll find myself. But that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to find ourselves in Him. That's really the only way that we could ever know who we truly are. When God reveals it to us, when He speaks to us by His Word and shows us who we are, who He is, and what He has done for us. And what does the Bible have to say to us? It has to say to us that we are sinful, that we sin each and every day, that we have fallen from the glory of God, and that we are deserving of death because of our sin. That's the first thing that we must realize about ourselves. Each and every one of us, there is no exception besides Jesus Christ, our Lord Himself. But it doesn't end there. It also reveals to us that God wants to save you, that God wants to forgive your sin. That's exactly what Jesus said in our gospel reading for today. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. The scriptures reveal to you that Jesus took on human flesh, died in your place, dying the death you deserved, paying for your sin through His blood, and forgives your sin, calls you righteous because of what He has done for you. The Bible reveals your true self to you. One, that you're a sinner. But two, that you are forgiven of your sins by the blood of Jesus. And because of this, you are truly, really called a child of God. Realizing this is not something that we could ever come to on our own. Do you think that Matthew, by his own power, got up from the tax booth? Do you think that you, by your own power, accepted Jesus Christ into your own heart? No. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. This is what Luther says in the explanation to the third article of the Creed. We are so hardened in our sin that when we hear that message, follow me, by our own sinful nature, by our own power, we don't want to listen to it. We don't want to follow Jesus. But the Holy Spirit calls you by that word. The Holy Spirit breaks down your stony heart. The Holy Spirit leads you to believe in Jesus and to receive your salvation in Him. This is what St. Paul says in Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And that word of Christ is what governs every aspect of our life. That word of Christ tells you that you are a forgiven and loved child of God. And then that word of Christ tells you what a child of God believes and what a child of God does. This is what St. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, that he gave us the word of Christ for building up the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of Man, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. There's so much darkness out in the world that wants to pull us away from Christ. There are so many lies out there that want us to get us to have wrong ideas about God and who He is. But the Word is the shining light in the darkness. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's what guides us in this life. Guides us so that we see salvation in Christ. Guides us so that we know how we are called to be when we follow Jesus. We follow Christ with the sure foundation of His word. He calls you to listen to Him. Calls you to follow Him. blocking out all the lies, blocking out all the darkness, but only looking to Jesus and hearing his word. So that just like Ezekiel was called, just like Matthew was called, those two simple words, follow me, means so much for you. It means your life. It means your salvation. And it means the way that this life was meant to be. Following Jesus, looking to his cross, and receiving salvation. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.